Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 1, Text 10. Kvachin nivartate bhajat, kvachich chadati tat punaha, prayaschitam mata partam, manye kunjada sauchavat, kvachin nivartate bhajat, kvachich chadati tat punaha, prayaschitam mato partam, manye kunjada sauchavat, kvachin nivartate bhajat, kvachich chadati tat punaha, prayaschitam mata partam, manye kunjada sauchavat. Matajis. Kvachit, sometimes, nivartate, ceases, abhajat, from sinful activity. Kvachit, sometimes, chadati, commits, tat, that, sinful activity. Punaha, again. Prayaschitam, the process of atonement. Ato, therefore, apartam, useless. Manye, I consider. Kunjadasauchavat, exactly like the bathing of an elephant. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Sometimes one who is very alert so as not to commit sinful acts is victimized by sinful life again. I therefore consider this process of repeated sinning and atoning to be useless. It is like the bathing of an elephant, for an elephant cleanses itself by taking a full bath, but then throws dust over its head and body as soon as it returns to the land. Purport. When Parikshit Maharaj inquired how a human being could free himself from sinful activities so as not to be forced to go to hellish planetary systems after death, Shukadeva Goswami answered that the process of counteracting sinful life is atonement. In this way, Shukadeva Goswami tested the intelligence of Maharaj Parikshit. He passed the examination by refusing to accept this process as genuine. Now Parikshit Maharaj is expecting another answer from his spiritual master, Shukadeva Goswami. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadhati Swapadantikam Pandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Parakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavam Cha Shri Rupam Sagajataham Sahagana Raghunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitam Cha Hey Krishna, Karuna Shindu, Dinabando, Jagatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta, Namostute, Tapta Kanchana Godhangi, Radhe, Brindabhaneshwari, Vishabhanu Sute Devi, Pranamami, Hari Priye, Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha, Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha, Patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Sometimes one who is very alert so as not to commit sinful acts is victimized by sinful life again. I therefore consider the process of repeated sinning and atoning to be useless. It is like the bathing of an elephant, for an elephant cleanses itself by taking a full bath, but then throws dust over its head and body as soon as it returns to the land. So here in the Bhagavatam, is the conversation between Maharaj Parikshit and Shukadeva Goswami. Shukadeva Goswami has just explained the hellish planets in the fifth canto and all the sufferings that the sinful living entity has to endure by committing sinful activities. So earlier in the chapter, Maharaj Parikshit is asking, by what can one avoid these hellish reactions? And now Shukadeva Goswami is giving his answers. And now Maharaj Parikshit, he doesn't accept the first answer. The first answer was that one should perform atonement. And then Maharaj Parikshit, he's saying that if one atones for sinful activities with another material activity, even if it's pious, it doesn't uproot the desire to commit sinful activities, so that there's every chance that one can commit sinful activities again. And he's comparing it to an elephant bathing. He may bathe, but then once he comes out, he throws dirt all over his body. So the process of spiritual life is purification. And life, in a simple phrase, life is meant for purification. So here, Shukadeva Goswami is giving material cleansing, karma kanda activities to counteract the dirtiness of the impious activities that'll make one go to the hellish planets. But as it says in the next verse, that this just burns up the leaves on the ground that may fall from the tree, the bamboo tree of activities, but it doesn't burn up the root. So now, we know in Vedic ways of explaining things, I forgot the Sanskrit term, but there's a way to explain something that's beyond our comprehension, is that you give something that we can relate to, like if the moon is far off in space, but they point out the branches of a tree. They say, do you see the branches? And then they say, look just below the branch, there's the moon shining. So that's what's going on here, is that Sukadeva Goswami is explaining, he's going to come to the culmination of the real atonement, or the real purificatory activities, which is pure bhakti. But first he's answering with Karmakanda. He's saying, if you do atonement. But Maharaj Pariksit, he doesn't accept it. And then the next verse, Sukadeva Goswami is going to explain Jnanakanda, or that one should speculate or use one's intelligence to figure out what is the absolute. But then Maharaj Pariksit, he's also not satisfied with this answer. And ultimately, this chapter culminates in giving the full purificatory process, or what's the real way to annihilate all seeds of sinful desires. And the story of Ajamil is the full answer to the question of Maharaj Pariksit as how one can save himself from going to the hellish planets. And as we know, the culmination in all purificatory activities is to chant the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So performing these sinful and pious activities, it's like the samsara, or the cycle, or the merry-go-round of material experience. So sometimes the living entity may perform pious activities that merits that soul to go to the heavenly realm or the heavenly planets to enjoy material pleasures. But at some stage, we know that you can't really exit the material world from the heavenly planets, that the earth planet is like the ground level. That's why the demigods, they're praying, they're actually lining up to take birth in the material, in the planet Earth, so that they can exit or engage in the most powerful process of atonement or purification, which is the Samkirtan Yajna. So in the heavenly planets, which is the result of pious activities, it's also temporary and one has to come back. So there's that shloka that from the highest planet in the material world down to the lowest, all are places of repeated birth and death. But those who take shelter of Krishna by devotional service, they never have to come back again. So this merry-go-round of material existence, the lower part of the experience, or the so-called joyride, is the hellish planets, which Sukadeva Goswami just thoroughly explained, every hellish planet in the fifth canto. And by acting sinfully, by acting rebelliously, or by acting, misusing our independence and trying to enjoy separately from Krishna, acting sinfully, we experience all the different hellish planets. But actually at some stage, because of suffering, we decide we're forced. We're forced to try to rectify ourselves, so we perform some pious activity. And then the more we perform pious activities, the more we're elevated to the heavenly realms. And the more we enjoy the heavenly pleasures, usually we slacken our desire for piety and we start to perform sinful acts. And the more we slacken our piety in the heavenly realm, or we enjoy, then we go down. So this is what we're going through, is the 8,400,000 species of life, the merry-go-round of samsara, going up, heavenly enjoyment, coming down, hellish experiences. So Maharaj Parikshit, he's asking, what is the final atonement, or what is the activity that one can do that he doesn't have to go up and down and repeatedly experience the temporary pains and pleasures of material enjoyment? And it's culminating in Sukadev Goswami's answer. And in this nice history of the life of Ajamil, it's going to culminate in the powerful atoning process of the holy names. So actually today is Durga Puja on the calendar. And I wanted to speak a little bit about Durga Puja. I don't know much about Durga, but we know from Krishna book in 10th canto that Durga is Yoga Maya, or is Krishna's sister, Subhadra. And that in the past time of Krishna's appearance, Krishna is about to appear, and first Balaram appears in the womb of Devaki, and then is transferred to the womb of Rohini. And Durga is born from Devaki, is it? Or Yashoda? Who? Yashoda? Huh? What's the consensus? So she was born in Yashoda and then switched to the womb of Devaki. And Devaki, yeah. Devaki was imprisoned by Kamsa. So Durga in Sanskrit actually means a strong fort. Oh yeah, one point I wanted to try to make was that in this conversation between Maharaj Parikshit and Sukadev Goswami, it says here in the Purport, Prabhupada says that Sukadev Goswami was testing the intelligence of Sukadev Goswami. Actually in the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna tells Arjuna that one should try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master, inquire from him submissively and render service unto him, for the self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they've seen the truth. That chapter 4, verse 34, in the Purport, Prabhupada says, one has to pass the test of the spiritual master. And that when one has passed the test, the spiritual master imparts spiritual knowledge unto the disciple. So actually, this process of being tested is going on also by Durga Devi. Durga is the strong fort, or Yoga Maya, or the material energy. Sometimes this explains very hard to understand actually the full position of Durga, but basically Durga or Maya is testing the living entity, testing all of us at every moment on where we want to put our energy. Do we want to have Krishna really, or do we want to have a little Krishna, a little Maya, but to different degrees according to our exact propensity or our exact desires? Then Krishna is ready to reciprocate. As we know, Krishna says that as those surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly, and that everyone follows my path in all respects. So Sukadev Goswami, he's, like I was saying before, he's explaining the ultimate by first showing the limbs of the tree, or first talking about Karma Kanda, then Jnana Kanda, but ultimately he's going to describe Bhakti. So that's what the material energy, Durga, is also, can be also considered like a spiritual master. And we're being tested by Maya at every moment. Do we want the pure answer of how to avoid the hellish planets? Or do we want a mixture of Karma Mishra Bhakti or Jnana Mishra Bhakti? So that's up to us. That's the dynamic aspect of life, is that we can choose at every moment how much we want to give our consciousness, give ourselves to the process. And actually, what's going to be explained by the history of Ajamil is that the most powerful way to free oneself from suffering sinful reactions is to engage in bhakti yoga, and specifically the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we've been given the most powerful aspect of Krishna's mercy, the process of chanting, and the process, like there's so many processes of bhakti yoga, but there's five, panchanga, the five most powerful processes, chanting the holy names, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, worshipping the deities, associating with devotees, and living in a holy place. So Prabhupada has organized the morning program that all those angas, all those most powerful aspects of bhakti, we perform in like 2 hours of time. Actually, the morning program is the most concentrated, powerful spiritual opportunity to connect with Krishna. If we see how Prabhupada arranged the morning program, we have Bhagavatam class, we have deity worship, we have congregational chanting, we're in a holy dham, we're in New Dwarka Dham, and we're associating with the devotees. So actually the rest of the day is like also like we were talking about being tested by the spiritual master. The rest of the day is like the testing ground of how we absorbed our consciousness and our sadhana in a morning program. So it's actually the most opportune way to experience or purify our consciousness and get back to our original blissful spiritual state. So that's basically all the points I had to say today. If there's any discussion or questions. Actually, I was hoping to be saved by my guru on the last moment there. But I guess it was a test from the spiritual master. So a question by Bhakta Tim?
Thanks, Prabhu. How important is the evening program to attend? Because I know the morning program is really important, you were just saying, but how important is the evening program?
Well, it's just as important as, like Prabhupada said, the sandwich program. So every moment is important. Just like I was hearing a class one time, and Prabhupada, or the devotee was saying that Krishna, that time is an expansion or an incarnation of Krishna, right? We know time I am. So time is actually Krishna's energy, or you can say Krishna's expansion. So how we use our time, it's how we're deciding to associate with that incarnation of Krishna. So every moment is very important. It's like, you know, Chanakya Pandit says that you can't buy back a moment of time for millions of dollars. So all aspects of our day are important. It's actually a part of advancing in spiritual life that a devotee doesn't waste any time. So if your authorities, or if it's in your program that you can attend the evening program, that's very powerful and that's great. But if there's, even sometimes there's been circumstances where, I remember this one person, this is like an extreme example, but this one personality was cooking for the deities in Vrindavan. I think he left his body some years back, but he cooked. There wasn't many devotees to do the service, so he cooked every offering. So he was telling Prabhupada he didn't have time to chant his rounds. Prabhupada said that if you just chant, sing the holy name while you're doing your service, that'll be enough. And that's what he did for many, many, many years. He sang and cooked and did service in the deity kitchen all day and all night. And he left his body in Vrindavan. So that's an extreme example. But the main thing is to follow the authorities, what service they've given us. Sometimes the service doesn't free us up for evening programs, but if it does, then that's take advantage of it. Any other? Is that okay? Anything else? Bhrigupati Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu. Nice class. Is it true that you're leaving us?
No.
Question was, is it true that you're leaving us?
Well, we're trying to help out our friend that became temple president in Denver. So me and my wife are going to go and try to do some service there with the blessings of all the devotees. It was like, but we're never leaving New Dwarka. This is like our, I grew up here. This is just like hopefully Krishna's arrangement for pushing on the movement. Hare Krishna. Anything else? Prem Sankirtan.
Can you give us some hints how to be, how in any moment to make distinction between Maya and Krishna? Because we know then, you know, somebody can be in a moment 20, 30, 40 years, but still, you know, like pure devotee, when he chants, he has symptoms of ecstasy, and, you know, so we are not on that level, but can you give some hints, you know, how to, in any moment, it's very important, you emphasize two times, in any moment to really try to distinguish what is Maya, what is Krishna.
You know. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says that he's lame and ill-advised, and he can't even walk, but the stick of the Vaishnava's mercy is what makes him able to make any just one step. So if we always safeguard our lives by the association of the Vaishnavas, then no matter what little trips we may get on, we always check with the senior devotees and peers, you know, what do you think about this attitude I have? What do you think about this idea? So then if we have a strong association of devotees, then we're safeguarded. That's actually Krishna's mercy comes through the devotees. So then we can't get too off track. But if we isolate ourselves, even while we're in the community of devotees, then there's the tendency to have weird attitudes or weird, misunderstand what Prabhupada wants us to do. Tim? Okay, anything else? Srimad Bhagavatam ki.